What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Genevieve Milnes, welcome back.
Thank you, Rodney. It's great to be back.
Good.
We were just talking about, we're already 1/12 of the way through the year.
It's frightening.
Isn't that frightening? And all of the things that I've been involved in over the holidays with families and actually running a bed and breakfast, would you believe, which is quite an interesting thing, quite a fun thing too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yes. So some different things happening on the front here in the family front. It's been hot, hasn't it?
It has. It's been very warm indeed, and we've had quite a spell of that hot weather where it's very difficult to sleep at night too.
Well, yes. We have one of those very nice evaporative coolers running quietly in the background, but they don't even work when it gets muggy, you know.
That's exactly right. We've got the same thing.
Have you?
Yeah.
They're good, aren't they? Because you can leave windows open and sort of, although then I suppose you've got the security problem at night.
Oh, well, we've got the lock on it, so we can lock them open just a little bit, just enough.
Yeah, the intricacies of cooling a house.
Now, I guess we'd better get right back into it, and today a very interesting topic.
A very interesting topic, and one that's been, if you like, a family topic for we call it the Jones family. That's my mum's side, because my mother was one to panic a lot over little things, and I used to intrigue me and perplex me at the same time, until sometime during my life I began to get night panics, and I realised what was happening was that the stress was building up in the day. I was able to cope with everything in the day, but suddenly at night I would wake up in this, you know, incredible panic that I had lost something, or run over something, or left the baby on the train, or whatever that was, and I was into this full-blown panic attack right in the middle of the night. And it really perplexed me for quite a few years, until in a lecture at one stage, one of my university lecturers was talking about panic attacks, and I didn't connect the two. I didn't think the panic in the night was anything that could be treated. But he started to talk about panic attacks and how they can happen in the night. And then suddenly, I realised that I could get help for that. So that was my journey of panic attacks. Because we, as I said, the Jones family has a little bit of anxiety running through the family.
I mean, it is interesting. You're saying there that even though you were studying, you weren't actually realising that what you were experiencing was a panic attack. And I'm wondering how many other instances there are where people are thinking, oh, that's, I get a bit worried about this at times, and, I'm not quite sure where to put myself, but they don't class it as a panic attack, therefore they don't actually seek help to do something about it.
And I think that's quite possible. I was just looking at, there's a lovely, lovely website that you really must get onto. It's the Centre for Clinical Interventions, our own homegrown website in Perth. Friends of mine I know have been working at this website for years, and many others who I don't know, of course, but it is a great website. So it's www.cci, I'm going to find the rest of it in a moment, .health.wa.gov.au. So if you do want to get on and get some notes about panic, there are some terrific worksheets and notes there for you to access. But what I wanted to say was that panic really is an extension, or a it's the same family as anxiety. And so when you get afraid of something, you are fearful, your body goes through a whole series of changes, like your heart starts to pump faster and you're breathing, you breathe faster and you sweat, and all of this is in response to a danger in front of you. And that's all very understandable. I remember running through the bush one day, and suddenly there was a snake across the path, and it was, look, I think it had its head up. I don't know whether it did or not, but I just saw it. I froze. Then I panicked. I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything. And then suddenly I tried to scream. I couldn't scream. And I just remember that whole feeling, because there was a snake in my path. And that's very understandable. But with panic attacks are a little bit like a false alarm. It all happens, and there's nothing there really to immediately scare us. So It's that sudden escalating surge of extreme fear without an immediate source.
I've heard of people who will get a panic attack just when they're out shopping or something like that, and I imagine it can be quite debilitating, because then you decide, well, I don't really want to go out shopping anymore. I don't want to go out and be around people because I might have a panic attack, and that causes more concern. And I'm wondering if there are people listening this morning who think, I'm not quite sure if what I experience is a panic attack or not, but I'd like to know. If you'd like to give us a call and have a bit of a chat about that, we'd love to talk to you. There's a few ways you can get in touch with us using Microsoft Messenger. mornings@sunshinefm.ws is our email address. You can use that to get in touch with Microsoft Messenger, or, of course, just send us a straight email, mornings@sunshinefm.ws, or give us a call. Maybe we can talk through some of the things that you've been experiencing, and maybe Genevieve can say, well, yeah, I think that is or that isn't a panic attack, and we can move you on to, I guess, finding a way beyond and past that. If you would like to give us a call, 94841985, love to chat to you, 94841985. Rodney Olson here, talking to Genevieve Milne, psychologist and counsellor. Today we're talking specifically about panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And we've got Enyo on the line. You've got a question for Genevieve this morning.
Good morning, Rodney. Good morning, Genevieve.
Good morning, Enyo.
Genevieve, I want to know if some of your listeners at Sunshine FM, if they've been in a bad car accident, how long does it take? Or, you know, are they, when they, if they survive and they recover, how does it, are they still a fright to drive? Because I tell you, every day I listen on this car accident, how does it, the people must feel scared to drive a car again after having a bad car accident, Genevieve.
Yes, and it's, in my family recently, my son-in-law had a very bad car accident, and he just about shakes when he goes to get in a car, and is very, very edgy. And that was only about 3 months ago. So he's really, you know, recalling all of that car accident. And yes, certainly he's had a trauma. And I think, you know, you can panic from the memory of what that was. So you can sort of relive it, if you like.
Yeah, it's an interesting one where whatever it is that we've been through, it can be very difficult to try that again. I mean, there's the old advice of, you know, you've got to get immediately back on the horse kind of thing.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it?
But that's not always an easy thing to do.
No, and I think any trauma is going to cause you a difficulty to go back into that same situation, even to go back past the scene of the accident.
Mm. Mm. We've got Anthea on the line. Good morning to you, Anthea.
Good morning, Rodney. Good morning, Genevieve.
Good morning.
Yeah, I just could relate so much. I was just doing a little housework, and when you started talking about the anxiety attacks and panic, probably from 1993 onward, I would be probably shopping or out with my husband for a meal, and all of a sudden I would get that horrible panic feeling. I'd have to leave the table, leave the shopping trolley, the bank ATMs, have to walk away. In the end, I would send my son to get money out. It was becoming impossible, and I sort of read all the books, did all the relaxation, and resigned myself to the fact that I'd probably have to live with this. But eventually, in 1997, a very good doctor did prescribe medication, which helped. And I think so many ladies and men are afraid of this mental health stigma, I think it is, really, afraid of getting help sometimes, or like me, afraid of taking medication for fear it made it more difficult.
Yes, and so, Anthea, have you had a panic attack since 1997?
No.
Isn't that amazing?
Not since the medication. As the doctor said to me at the time, one wouldn't deprive a diabetic of insulin. It's a chemical imbalance in my particular case in the brain. And the drug he put me on, it stopped it. I could have kissed his feet.
isn't that wonderful?
It was marvellous, but it's such a dreadful feeling, and it's all-consuming, and it can just really ruin your life.
Anthea, can you tell me a little bit about your family background? Was there anxiety in either your mum or your dad?
Yes, there was. My mother back in the UK probably went through a very, very early menopause, and she had a form of agoraphobia, which they treated with the heavy-duty tranquilizers, which it sent her to sleep, and she couldn't function, so therefore she didn't take it. She eventually came out of it. My father died in 92, and the doctor thinks that may have been a trigger for mine. It was a really traumatic time. But on my mother's side, yeah, probably there always has been something there. But again, it wasn't talked about very much.
Yeah. And so do you have, you know, relatives who have anxiety, sort of panic attacks, or was it just your own family?
Absolutely, just my own family. But as I say, I do, I never draw back if the subject comes up and people sort of, I find if you talk about things, even at a dinner party or something, there's so many people, I felt that too, I did that too, and it's true, isn't it? It's good for people to talk about it, know that there's help out there.
Yeah.
And for some people, simple relaxation exercises or reading certain books, but for me, I did everything, and it was medication, but as I say, that little pill once a day.
Yeah, and it's an interesting discussion. Now, is this nature or is it nurture? Is it something in our genes?
Yes.
Or is it something that we observe and do?
That's right. That's what I've often thought, I wonder, really, should I come off this? I know you can't just stop medications just without seeing the doctor, but I very much believe in natural remedies, and I'm sure there's something out there, but a little bit, I feel a little locked in now because I haven't had a panic attack in 11 years, and to come off the medication, then that runs the risk of probably, I mean, it may just be a curve until a natural remedy kicks in, but yeah, it is a concern.
As working as a clinical psychologist, I do work with behavioural ways of overcoming anxiety and depression without medication. So, of course, you're sort of talking around in my area now.
Yes.
You've never done anything really to treat that other than the medication. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Since 97, since I went on it and they stopped, it was just like, my husband said, now you're the woman I married, you know, now you're back to how you are. So I don't want to, you know. So I thought, well, okay, there is obvious side effects with medication. There was weight gain and there was some other little issues, but all those are very manageable. I think when it's to do with the head or the brain or anything like that, we are sort of, there's a stigma, and I can deal with anything else, but, you know, when it's in your head, you feel, God, I rely on the medication.
Do you recall thinking, I know it's a long time ago, 1993, you said you were experiencing them. Do you recall actually thinking, you know, scary thoughts, or was there something that, you know, triggered off this anxiety or this panic?
No, well, that's the unusual thing, Genevieve. I very often used to get them when I was at rest, relaxing, not necessarily in bed. It could be in my own home or someone else's home, just having a coffee, and all of a sudden, it's almost like when your body has time to relax, then subconsciously, I wasn't aware of anything I was afraid of, but it would always happen at rest, but then it sort of escalated into more social occasions.
Now I was just going to go through, while you're on the line, Anthea, some of the characteristics of a panic attack.
Oh,
it does tend to peak quite quickly, between 1 and 10 minutes, so you haven't really got a lot of warning.
No,
and
absolutely
not. The apex of the panic attack lasts for approximately 10 or 5 to 10 minutes, unless, you know, you sort of, it's constantly rekindled.
Yeah.
And the initial attack is usually described as just coming out of the blue.
Absolutely. As I said to Rodney briefly before I came on air, when we were up north in Headland, I was swimming, and it was a particularly good day. I felt well, and I was swimming right in the centre of the pool. It was a quiet day, and I thought, how well I felt. Well, that was enough to trigger something. Obviously, my subconscious was thinking, oh, I'm not having an anger, I'm feeling well, and it came on, and it was, my body was like lead to try and get to the side of the pool, I really thought. And as soon as I got to the side of the pool, the heart started to calm down a little bit, but I was shaky for probably about 15, 20 minutes.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for ringing in and letting us have a little glimpse of your journey through panic.
Not at all.
Thanks, Anthea. You have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Anthea. Good to talk to you. And it is interesting when we start to hear from someone like Anthea. I'm particularly interested by the way that she was mentioning that whenever she's he's out at dinner and talking to people and starts talking about these things, other people start to pipe up and say, I've experienced that too. And this brings me back to what I was saying before. I'm wondering how many people experience some sort of panic attack and don't even know that it's a panic attack, and maybe it's just a few moments of anxiety and they're not quite sure where it's coming from. And I'm wondering if there are other people that may want to get in touch with us this morning. If you would like to have a bit of a chat, all you need to do is give us a call on 94841985, 94841985. You can call right now or send us an email, mornings@sunshinefm.ws. Rodney Olson here together with Genevieve Milnes. We're talking panic attacks today. We've got another listener on the line. Good morning to you. You've got some questions to ask Genevieve today.
Yes, my name's Marie, and I've got a daughter that's been suffering from panic attacks since she was about 15 years of age. She's now 22, and it still doesn't do very well, even with medication. And I would like, you know, some sort of help, because I don't think she's really coping with life very well, and it's stopping her from being the person she could be.
Yes, and Marie, do you know, is she an anxious person? Are you an anxious person? Is there something in the family you think that's she's been copying behaviour, or is there anything that you can see there?
No, not really. I mean, there's definitely a strong hereditary, I think, within the family. I've got two sisters who both take medication for anxiety. Interestingly enough, they developed it though later on in life as mature adults. And I have a couple of cousins and a couple of nieces who also suffer. So there's definitely a hereditary track there in the family, yes.
And one of the, when we think about, you know, how to treat panic, I guess there are a couple of things that come to mind. The first one is, what is her breathing like? Now, breathing is a big one, because what happens in anxiety is that we sort of get this imbalance, really, between the oxygen and the carbon dioxide. So when we're anxious, this balance is disrupted because we're over-breathing. We're sort of doing the wrong thing. So the first thing is really to change the way that you breathe. Now, has she done any work with, has she ever had any help or any, you know, been to counselling for anxiety and had some help like this?
She's a bit of a monkey when it comes to things like that, because that's what I've been always wanting her to do. She did try at one stage when she got really, really bad. She saw a clinical psychologist, and she went to him for probably about a month, and unfortunately then he went on holidays, and that was the enough for her to stop going. He wanted to do, now I forget the actual proper term for it, it's something to do with like a therapy when you're asleep. What do you call that?
Is that a hypnosis?
Yes, something like that, like a... Oh, is it RTM or something like that?
EMDR? No?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't remember what
right.
But he never actually did it, but that's where he was heading.
Yes. Okay, but she didn't actually get to that. You see, because panic and anxiety become so ingrained, really, that a couple of sessions may, you know, help you to see the options that you have for treating it. But until you actually do it and it becomes second nature to you, it's really not going to help a lot. So it's got to be something you really work at, especially with the breathing. And also, I was going to mention the thoughts that are associated with panic. So things like catastrophic thoughts, for example, my heart just skipped a beat, am I going to have a heart attack, which, you know, sends us over the edge a bit, or overestimating the chance that you might have a panic attack. So it's just the different thoughts that we have that actually help us along that track of panicking and having severe anxiety. And also there are behaviours that we do that can lead us into panic situations, if you like, or lead us to be more anxious. For example, example, you know, there are things that we avoid because we know that we're afraid of things like heights or swimming or, you know, just general things where we know we've had panic attacks in the past. So, of course, if we're going to go there into those public places or shopping centres during peak hour traffic and so on, it's quite possible that we will get that response that will sort of set us off again. So
The thing is with her is that she doesn't do any of that. She, like, we cannot go shopping anywhere unless the shops are within, like you say, just at street level where she can exit quite easily. Like a big shopping centre is just out of the question. So we don't do that. So there's so many things that we can't do as mother and daughter. And I mean, I could go on and on. But what I'm worried about is that she is taking medication, but she's still prone and getting an attack if she's put in that situation. So it's basically avoiding a lot of normal activities that people would do.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm concerned about that because I don't think she's getting any better. I think she's okay if she avoids normal type situation, you know, that we all do from day to day. I mean, catching a train, I have to drive her to work every morning in peak hour traffic, which sounds ridiculous, because she cannot catch a train or a bus.
Mm. And she's at an age where it's difficult. She's not adult. In other words, she hasn't learned how to be totally responsible for her own reactions and therefore taken on the responsibility of doing something about this. She's still under your care. And so in some ways, you will probably need to maybe get counselling whereby you're involved as well as mum and you're able to sort of help her and remind her and, you know, until she actually gets the idea that, you know, this is something that she's going to have to struggle with herself and to overcome by doing the right things and staying on the track, you know, really actually doing the work of calm breathing and changing her thoughts and so on.
Mm. Do you do that sort of thing? Do you offer counselling?
I do, but and a lot of clinical psychologists do that. But we can give you some numbers off air. We can't actually give that on air at the moment, but we can, if you stay on the line, we can give you a number off air.
Okay. I would appreciate that because I think it's reached the stage where, you know, she's a little bit out of control. I mean, like, just to give you an example, she drove her car in, and every time she drives her car into work, because she gets up late, you know, if she drives in sometimes when I can't, I end up getting a $50 fine because she hasn't put enough money in the parking meter. So we've racked up, you know, $4,000 worth of fines. To me, that's not normal behaviour. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I understand. I think I don't know whether this is the time to say it, but I have some young teenage early 20s in, you know, as children myself. And I think that we're seeing here almost teenage behaviour that, you know, that our kids aren't able to take that responsibility and do these things for themselves, even though they may be in their early 20s. And it's still very much that you have to step in and help her to do that and to get her through this stage.
Yeah. Marie, just hold on the line there. We'll come back and have a chat to you off air, but thank you very much for your call. I mean, it is certainly an interesting one, and so often is the case, Genevieve, that people will ring in and there's a loved one that they want to help, and this is always the difficulty, that it comes down to the person who is having a panic attack. Or last year we were talking about different personality disorders, and it's often the people that love them that really want to get them help, and that can be a difficult thing when we want someone that we love to get help and yet they're not willing to go through with it.
It is a difficult one, isn't it? And I know that a lot of people are in that situation, but it's almost pushing this person to get that help and to really, you know, make it real to them that they do need to do something about it.
Maybe we can come back. I know that you won't be with us next week, so in a couple of weeks' time we'll get back together and talk a bit more on panic attacks, because it really does seem to be something that strikes a chord with people. people. Many people have experienced it, perhaps not to the same extent as Marie's daughter there, but oftentimes it can be just those little panic attacks that really start to make us unsure about ourselves and about going about our normal business. So we'll come back in a couple of weeks' time and talk about that.
And don't forget to get to that website, because there's a lot of helpful stuff on there of what to do if you are someone who suffers from panic. And that's that, what was it, Rodney?
Yeah, just a little bit later this morning, what we'll do is make sure that there is a post on the morning program blog, which is at sunshinefm.ws/mornings, or just go to sunshinefm.ws. You can click on blog and there'll be a post there a little later. We will put a link to that website, which helps you go through a number of things to help you with panic attacks. That'll be up there along with the audio of this morning's program just a little later this morning. So that's the place to go. But Genevieve, it's been great having you back, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. See you then.
Bye.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.